How about that price of oil?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The price of oil just keeps coming down. Since July 11th, it's fallen 30% from $147 a barrel to below $105 a barrel this morning. That's a five-month low. The only thing that's keeping oil above 100 is those hurricanes heading toward the Gulf. The main reason prices have fallen so much is that demand in the U.S. has dropped big time. Stocks had a fat bounce from the bailout of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, but it doesn't look like it's going to last long. After a big rally yesterday, the markets closed lower in Asia today. Shares lost almost 2% by the close in Japan and Hong Kong. European shares are a bit higher so far, close to 1%. The Dow shot up 290 points yesterday to 11,510, more than 2.5%. The Nasdaq added 13, and the S&P 500 climbed 25 points. The thing about government bailouts is this. Once you start, everybody wants one. First there was Bear Stearns. Now there's Fannie and Freddie. Who might be next? How about the car industry? Today, Detroit executives will be in Washington to ask Congress for government-guaranteed loans. Here's John Dimsdale with more.
Car makers need new capital to retool for more fuel-efficient vehicles, but lenders are demanding premium interest rates since prospects for car company profits are dim. So the industry wants government-subsidized loans at low interest rates. Why should taxpayers help? David Cole at the Center for Automotive Research says because the government is requiring more fuel-efficient cars.
In a sense, the government has laid some pretty heavy stuff on the industry, and one of the consequences of the run-up in energy prices is a dramatic reduction in revenue by the industries.
After Fannie and Freddie, Congress may not have a taste for more government bailouts, but Cole says in the end, there may not be a cost to taxpayers.
The Chrysler bailout in the early 1980s, the government actually made money.
Car makers are also making a political appeal. What politician wants to see more layoffs from car factories in the swing states of Michigan and Ohio? In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Today, for the first time in decades, the Colonel Sanders chicken recipe will be removed from the KFC offices in Louisville, Kentucky. This is the handwritten recipe of 11 herbs and spices. It's on a yellowing sheet of notebook paper signed by the Colonel himself. We don't know where the recipe is going or why it's being moved, but no one will be getting to it. KFC has hired a security team to transport the piece of paper. It'll be locked in a briefcase that is handcuffed to a security guard.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating global passion to live life to the fullest with 25 runners from around the world. More on global heroes at medtronic.com. And by Farrah Straus and Giroux, publishers of the new book by Thomas L. Friedman, Hot, Flat, and Crowded, Why We Need a Green Revolution and How It Can Renew America, wherever books are sold.
In certain movie theaters in Britain today, there is no popcorn. The author, Richard McKenzie, is with us. Richard, well, why does it?
One of the reasons that popcorn is so expensive is that theaters see themselves in the concession business. James Edwards, founder of the Edwards Theater chain, once said, "I show you movies in order to sell you popcorn." And over half of the gate receipts at movie theaters can go to the studios.
Right.
So what you want to do is keep the price of the tickets down in order that you can raise the price of popcorn.
And people are willing to pay the price because it's convenient.
It's convenient. It's also what the theater industry calls smellable, audible, edible.
It suckers me in every single time without fail. Even if I say I don't really want popcorn, you get there and the smell, it's over.
And once they get you hooked, I mean, there are all kinds of chemicals being released in the brain and so forth that makes moviegoers price insensitive.
Now, let's talk about the different sizes and explain to us what the best value is for your money with popcorn.
Okay, well, what the theaters are doing is walking you up your demand curve and charging you a high price for the first few ounces. Then they're sort of walking you down. They know they can sell you more, but they've got to drastically lower the price on those marginal ounces.
Show us what you're talking about.
Okay, what I'm going to do is pour out the contents of a full tub of popcorn, the large.
All right, there we go.
And then I'm going to take the medium bag, and I'm going to pour it into the tub. And as you can see,
it overflows.
It's on the floor.
So why do people buy the large?
Well, I think some of them think that they're getting more popcorn. But you also get the option of free refills. And there are some customers who will buy the tub and then on the way out of the theater ask for another
no
refill
kidding.
To take at home. And once you get two refills, you've got the price of popcorn at the margin down to less than 8 cents. An ounce.
That's but a heck of a lot of popcorn, though.
I have to warn you that if you get a tub, refill it twice, and smother all three tubs with butter, you're going to be consuming the calories recommended for an adult male for 3 days.
Jeez, sounds awful. And is this psychological pricing, or is there an economic reason behind it?
Fundamental law in economics is the law of demand. That is, what they're doing is simply charging you more on those very first few ounces, and you're willing to pay more for the first few ounces by the law of demand.
Mm-hmm.
But to get you to buy more, they got to lower the price drastically.
Richard McKenzie, his book is called Why Popcorn Costs So Much at the Movies. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
A lot of other explanations about prices in different areas in the book as well. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
Publishers are pushing kids' books on lots of levels, on the web, with toys, but sometimes all you really need is a good story to curl up with.
It's a different feeling from like a game or a TV show. I don't get that feeling with that kind of stuff. It's actually kind of like, I can't exactly tell you how the feeling is, but it's the greatest feeling ever.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, hyperselling children's lit, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.